Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Yo, this is Joey Belladonna, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Bumblefoot, and you're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast.
Yeah. Broadcasting around the world, around the world, around the world, from Jersey City, New Jersey. This is the Talking Metal Podcast. Here are your hosts, Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. John Astronomy here, coming to you from Jersey City, New Jersey. Mark is actually away in Indiana, but a few weeks ago, Mark hooked up with Rob Thorne from Sacred Oath and did a great interview in the studio. Rob came down from Connecticut. Unfortunately, I couldn't be at the interview, and I'm really bummed because I am definitely a fan of Sacred Oath. Rob, I wanted to thank you for the really, really cool Sacred Oath baseball jersey. Guys, let me tell you about this. It's a black jersey with white sleeves. Anybody who was hanging out in the late 80s remembers those type of baseball jerseys, and those are very, very cool. So thanks a lot, Rob. So anyway, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with Sacred Oath. We are proud to have teamed up with iTunes and Sacred Oath to bring this podcast to you, and iTunes has chosen Counting Zeros from Sacred Oath's new album as the Discovery Download Pick of the Week, April 7th. So you guys can download that track for free on iTunes. They will also be selling the standard edition of the new Sacred Oath album beginning on April 7th, a full 5 weeks before anyone else carries the album. And this is exclusive to iTunes worldwide. And not only that, guys, the album will be priced at a ridiculously low price of $5.99 for the entire album during that time period, and our good friends over at the MTV2 Headbangers blog will premiere the video for Sacred Oath's Counting Zeros. So without any further ado, let me turn the microphone over to Mark, who hooked up with Rob a few weeks back.
Hey, 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 it's Mark Striegel from the Talking Metal Podcast, and in the studio we have Rob from Sacred Oath. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm good.
Thank you so much for joining us. You make the trip down from, I guess, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Now, man, where in Connecticut are you?
Bethel, close to Danbury, south. Okay. Well, just about an hour from here.
My grandmother lives in a small town called New Milford, which by Danbury. So
That's like 20 minutes from us.
It's like my home away from home.
Is it really?
Yeah, she's still alive, still 86 years old,
oh,
still up there.
Awesome.
I'm up there quite often.
A lot of cow tipping up there.
Oh, yeah? Okay. We used to go into the cornfields and tip the corn stalks over. And,
it's not as much fun.
Yeah, no, I would imagine not. Anyways, Sacred Oath, let's talk about some metal here. The new album is about to drop in a few weeks, May 12th. What can the Sacred Oath fans expect from this record? Are we doing more of the same sound-wise? Are you guys going into new areas with the style?
I think that this record is still pure Sacred Oath, although I would say it's brand new, so it's got a little more of a current theme to it. But it's definitely traditional heavy metal in the style of Maiden, you know, Priest, Merciful Fate, Sabbath. It's not screaming, it's singing, it's melodic, it's very traditional.
Very cool, and we have a ton of listeners who are into the traditional metal, so I'm sure they're going to be waiting to get their hands on this. Let's go back. I know there's been a lot of Sacred Oath activity over the past few years. But let's go all the way back to 1987. I was just reading last night in my Martin Popoff book, where he examines just about every metal record that came out in the 1980s, and he had some nice stuff to say about Crystal Vision.
Oh, we're in going, there?
Yeah, you are in there. It's odd because most of them he provides like I think a 1 through 10 rating or something,
uh-huh.
and there's no rating, but he talks about you guys in uh-huh. there, definitely.
Oh, so, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And
That album has like it's been great for us because we, you know, first of all, we were teenagers when we put that out,
right,
on Mercenary Records, and we had a lot of difficulty with them, which is why we broke up. But it was, you know, it was 15 years later we got approached by labels that wanted to reissue the album because was this cult following in Europe for the band that we had no idea about, and we were, you know, excited at the idea of talking again,
yeah,
and playing again, and just it just instantly clicked, and we took off from there. I think we just needed to know that people actually gave a crap and wanted to hear what we were doing. So,
and do you think that part of this had to do that with the internet coming about, and people were kind of talking about classic metal over the internet, and I just know that with certain bands, the internet has helped. Revitalize, if I don't know if that's even a word, but you know, pique interest in a lot of great albums that came out back in the day.
I definitely think that the internet has been key for the things that have been going on for Sacred Oath in the last 2 or 3 years. But I think that the cult following that A Crystal Vision had going for it was going on from the time it was released.
Right.
I think that we went over there to play and November, well, not this past November, but you know, last year, and there were just people coming out that had the original vinyl for us to sign.
Wow.
They'd been following the band for 20 years. They couldn't believe that we, you know, we were over there because we had been broken up for so long, and we could see that this was something that had been going on for a long time. That it wasn't just all of a sudden someone discovered it on you know, eBay or Amazon,
right.
and took off with it. Which was cool because, you know, it's nice to know that somebody, that not just one person, but a bunch of people really appreciated something we had done so many years ago and we thought was just written off.
And that was 1987, correct?
Yeah, that was 87, was the first Sacred Oath album.
And then the next one was
2007.
2007, right. So really 20 years.
Yeah.
What went on during that long break or hiatus? Were you guys doing other bands?
Yeah,
or,
we were all in other bands.
Yeah.
I was playing in Soundscape all through the 90s, and Kenny was playing in Undertow, and guys were just in all different bands.
Right.
Pete's still in Low 12. He's not in the band anymore. And we were all busy. We were all doing music, you know. Pretty much full time, but it wasn't Sacred Oath. And nothing ever really was as exciting as Sacred Oath. You know, Sacred Oath just has like this resonance with a fan base where people just get excited about it, which is makes it so fun to be in, you know?
Yeah, cool. Well, we're going to talk about the new self-titled release that is coming out and the different versions, the iTunes version and the CD version. But before we get to that, I want to talk about where music is at. Now, you guys obviously aren't a big major label band. How is it, how has the current climate of the music business affected you guys as a more underground band that's not connected with a big company? I mean, a lot of kids nowadays don't even buy music anymore. They don't even have that concept. They just go online, they steal it.
Yeah.
How does that affect a band like you guys who, you know, is not, you're not out there selling millions of copies?
Well, I think it probably affects us at the end of the day in the same way it affects even a major label band.
Right.
It's just major label bands aren't as emotionally directly connected to what's going on with illegal downloading. I mean, because the label's behind them, the label's dealing with the flack, the label's dealing with piracy, and the bands are just sort of out there doing what they do best. But, you know, an underground band like us is more hands-on in promotion,
right?
In just a lot of the work that goes on in organizing promotion for the product, you know, recording the band, you know, the CD, doing all that kind of thing. So we're like, it's in our face all the time. So I think we probably have a very realistic picture of what's going on right now.
Okay.
In the scene. I think, as you said, I mean, kids, I really think in like 5 years, CDs are going to be really on their way
obsolete,
out big
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
I mean, I also teach guitar, and I've got, you know, 10, 12-year-old students coming in with their iPhones, and they don't own a single CD.
Wow.
And they pay for music on yeah. iTunes. It's just a foreign concept for them to own a CD. They don't see any need to do that. You get kids now who are doing these subscriptions on Rhapsody or
yeah.
these other you know, retailers where you pay $15 a month and you can listen to whatever you want.
Right.
It expires at the end of the month. You got to keep your subscription going. You can't listen to anything. But I really see that that's where we're going.
Yeah.
And honestly, right now, I don't mind that because with the way CD sales are going, you're always taking a risk when you're actually pressing the CDs.
Are you able to make money merchandising, like T-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff like
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, we
so
straggle
you
along.
Too. Yeah. And what yeah. about gigs? Yeah, are you able to make a good you know, you go to Europe and play. Are you able to cash in a little bit doing that? Or is it more of a break-even thing?
It's more of a break-even thing. I
yeah.
mean, what was good for us on the European tour was that we came back with a live album.
Yeah.
And that was awesome for us because we knew we weren't going to have a new studio album in 2008. And we had such momentum going for the band that we wanted to keep things going. We wanted to get another title out there. And, you know, that was the thing about the live album is that it wasn't even planned. I mean, it was at the end of the night, I said, "Hey, what's that?" The guy had like a laptop on the mixing
wow.
board. And I was like, "You know, can you send me that back in the States someday?" And he sent me the discs a few months later, and we were like, "Wow, you know, let's mix this thing and put it out. It's kind of cool."
So the live album, "Till Death Do Us Part," it was not planned. It was recorded, but it took off for you guys, right?
Yeah,
let's
it really
talk about
did.
How iTunes actually got behind that, and you guys ended up being one of the best live.
Yeah, it was in the top eight live metal albums in 2008.
Wow.
And I don't think that was a year thing. I think because they had albums in there like Unleashed in the East and Live
yeah.
After Death and Decade of Aggression and stuff like that. So it just, I don't know how we ended up on that. It was totally an honor because it was all my favorite bands and people noticed that and people picked up on that and it sort of catapulted us up into getting some more help, you know, behind this new album that we just finished. It was cool to see the reviews come in and people sort of see it for what it was, an honest, real recording of a, you know, traditional metal band just getting out there in front of a bunch of crazy Germans and giving them the U.S.
Cool. Well, let's get into some music off the live record right now. And this is all on iTunes. You guys can download it. We'll have links up. How about a classic track off the live album? A Crystal Vision, is that cool?
Sure.
Let's check it out. Was a Crystal Vision by Sacred Oath. We are in the studio with Rob from Sacred Oath. Rob, thank you for coming down. We are excited about the new record. It is coming out on May 12th. Let's talk about the different versions of the record. Now, there's going to be, a deluxe version, which the diehard fans can buy in like a physical CD. And what, that has more tunes than
It's got four bonus tracks. Yeah. Yeah, the deluxe and the standard jewel case both come out at the same time. They'll both be available in all the same places. But the deluxe has four bonus tracks. It it's in.
And are these covered tracks or are they?
No, they're brand new songs. Oh, cool. I mean, they were all recorded in the same sessions that we did the whole new album.
Cool.
In. But we just didn't put four of them on the standard jewel case edition. So it's got all the tracks that we recorded. And the packaging is elaborate. There's a 16-page booklet with tons of cool photographs, all the lyrics, all that stuff.
Excellent.
Whereas the jewel case is just a 2-page folded, cover in a jewel case. 10 songs, still great. We think the stronger CD. But we just wanted to make both price formats really available because we are an underground band.
Yeah.
And people aren't spending money on CDs like they used to. So if someone's going to be taking a chance on Sacred Oath, they may rather do that with a 10-song CD at a lower price.
Cool. Let's talk about who currently is in the band.
Well, you got me.
Right.
And another original member from back in 87, Kenny Evans on drums. And I mean, we've been best friends since we were 14 years old, so it's great to play with him in the band. We just, when we're playing together, it's just all intuition. It's just when we write music, when we play, we just feeling each other. Billy Smith, co-guitar player with me, who was actually one of my students.
Oh, cool.
And which works out great because he plays exactly like I taught him to.
Right. Yeah.
And he's very a great good. Player and a great guy, and also from around the same area that we all live. And Scott Waite, who on bass, who played with me in Soundscape all in the 90s.
Excellent.
And is just a fantastic bass player and really brings a lot of cool bass vibe to the band.
Excellent. And for counting zeros, where and when was this shot?
We shot that just a couple weeks ago in and around Danbury area.
Okay.
And boy, we had a few locations where we did that. The song, the lyrical content is really about the war, the economy, all the things that are going on right now in this country. And we really wanted to do something different than our last video. We wanted this to really sort of tell a little bit of a story, not just be so much the band jumping around on stage kind of thing. So we went to a military museum that they have in our area, which was it's just awesome. They got all these tanks parked out in front, and they were so cool. They like fired the tanks up, and they were like rotating the turrets, and the
Excellent.
Whole deal worked out awesome. And then we shot the rest of it in a warehouse, and we had some students of mine that are younger guys playing guitar, acting as characters in the video. Younger kids sort of dealing with war, playing war and the realities of it, and it worked out good. It was a rough day because it was like 14 degree wind chill.
Yeah.
And we were out there for about 14 hours, and by the end of the day we were just comatose.
And is it done yet, or is it edited?
It's pretty much done. Okay. It's being edited right now. And
where can people see it?
Well, it's going to be featured on the Headbangers blog homepage.
Oh, cool.
The whole week of the iTunes exclusive, which is April 6th. So April 6th, the video will be featured at Headbangers blog. The discovery download of the week will be the feature on iTunes through their homepage. And the album itself, the 10-song version, will be featured at a discounted price of $5.99. So you can, like, you can just...
That's this exclusive iTunes
thing? That's the iTunes exclusive that's coming up for the album on April 7th. They're gonna feature the band on the homepage. They're going to do the Discovery Download of the Week, and they're going to discount the album for a month-long period before the street date. Then when the street date hits for the actual CD, they're going to also release the deluxe edition.
Oh, okay.
So you'll also, you could get the deluxe edition, and it'll have other extras that they want to include as well. So the iTunes has really gotten behind the record. We're really grateful for that. We're very excited about it, and we're hoping that, you know, it can really do something for the band on this record.
Well, I hope it does. I hope it does. Let's talk about touring. Any dates lined up at this point?
There's nothing lined up just yet. I really think that our management is waiting to see what kind of noise happens with iTunes, because we've had some offers, and I think we're just waiting to see what kind of noise we make with iTunes, because if we make enough noise, I think we might get some better opportunities.
Okay,
so we're waiting to see what happens.
Cool. We should do a gig together. We have a band now. It's called Screaming Metal.
Yeah, well, I want to play with you guys at Dingbats.
Yeah.
I love Dingbats.
We had 250 people at Dingbats. I don't know how that happened.
That's a full house.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I actually do know how it happened. It was that we had people like Rob Dukes from Exodus singing with us. So, and Dan Lorenzo of Hades was playing with us, Metal Mike. So it was fun. It would be fun to do a gig at Dingbats again. Maybe bring you guys down. Maybe
we'd love to do it.
Do something up in Connecticut at some point too.
Yeah, we got a couple great clubs that are just hanging on by the skin of their teeth.
What is the rock scene like in Danbury? Is there one? Or
you know, there are a couple clubs. One of which, Billy Baloney's on Ive Street, that hangs in there. But it's, you know, it's like everywhere else, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an rock clubs are the underground scene.
Yeah.
So, but it does exist.
It does.
You know, cool. And I don't complain about it being an underground scene, because I've been used to that my whole life.
Sure.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the people that are involved, because they're doing it for the love of it.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Cool. And before we let you go, tell me about some of your favorite bands growing up. Give me like three of them and let's talk about them.
Well, I'll tell you, that was my inspiration for this record, because we got into this record very quickly after the tour, and I went on a vinyl collecting frenzy.
Wow.
Because I was just so inspired, dropping the needle on the vinyl, looking at the album covers of albums that inspired me to get started in this whole business in the first place. And, you know, of course, I mean, the first things I was scooping up were Black Sabbath, Paranoid, in Volume 4, and Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, just anything that Sabbath did. I was a huge Sabbath fan when I was younger, and still am. And then Judas Priest.
Of course, yeah.
I can remember, you know, the first band I was introduced to was Sabbath, and just launched into it headlong. And then Screaming for Vengeance came out, and I heard Rob Halford singing, you know, Screaming for Vengeance, and just was like, whoa, like, you know, I know I want to do this, and I want to do this like that, because this is just crazy. And then, and of course, Iron Maiden was a huge influence, and Dio when he went solo, and I was always a huge Ozzy fan. But then when the new band started coming out in the mid-80s, like, you know, Merciful Fate.
Right.
And Metallica, early 80s, really. That was the new generation that we just latched onto. I mean, Merciful Fate blew my mind. They were so creative. They were, you know, they were taking that 70s metal thing that Priest had going in late 70s with like Stained Glass, and they were just putting that really dark twist on it. And when Don't Break the Oath finally came around, I mean, just the dark sound of that record, I think really that's where Sacred Oath sort of launched out of. That, you know, we nurtured ourselves on, you know, Sabbath, Priest, Deep Purple, Rainbow, Maiden, and then Merciful Fate and Metallica.
Sure.
I remember hearing Ride the Lightning for the first time and, like, being scared of Fight Fire with Fire. I was like 12, you know. Right, I was like, oh my God, it's the heaviest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
and I'm
afraid
of it.
I had the same feeling.
Yeah, it was like I never heard anything so frightening.
Right.
And that was what launched us into, we want to do this, you know.
Sure.
And hopefully Sacred Oath has been able to carve out our, at least, you know, our own kind of take on the traditional metal sound.
Excellent.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Some good bands, good memories, definitely. Definitely. And I still have the vinyl. I have a record player in my living room, which my wife hates because we have all this nice furniture and this ugly
there's
record
the
player. Yeah, yeah. So, something about it, Rob Dukes from Exodus was saying that records don't sound better than you know, CDs. And maybe he's right, but they do sound different, and they do have a very warm feel to them. And there's something about them that I love listening to them sometimes over CDs, especially when it comes to bands like AC/DC and Iron Maiden and Judas Priest. There's something in that vinyl that I don't get from the CDs.
Yeah,
it's a memory.
I think a lot of it is nostalgia.
Yeah,
I mean, my record player that I have and the way I have it set up certainly doesn't sound better than my CD setup, but I sure enjoy listening to music on it more, and it certainly inspired me for this new record. I mean, there's something about, you know, going back, you know, just staring at that, you know, LP cover. And just getting in a zone where you're just focused on the music. That's one of the things about music now in the current format with iPods or with CDs, is that you're really able to have music on in the background all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
And so you're always doing something else. I mean, even if you got your headphones in, and it's completely encapsulating your head, you're still doing something else. You're playing a video game, you know, you're sweeping the floor, you're riding the lawnmower, whatever it is. But when you listen to something on vinyl, you sat down on the floor, you held the jacket in front of your face, and you just listened to every note that was coming out of those speakers and tried to put it together with what you were looking at on that cover.
And some of those, I mean, especially when you talk about Maiden. I mean, I remember, I mean, all the records really, but I remember when Somewhere in Time came out.
Oh, yeah.
I put that on and I would spend days it was such a complex drawing and there was so much to discover and fun time stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that cover. I mean, you were always looking for who was on a Maiden cover, who was doing it behind the curtain and what.
Yeah, exactly. Power Slave on some of the original pressings, there was little vandalism on the pyramid, and you could see it said Indiana Jones was here.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually. Yeah. I have that pressing.
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
Well, Rob, thanks for joining us. We want to end with some new music, and we encourage all the Talking Metal listeners to go legally buy Sacred Oath on May 12th when it comes out. And Counting Zeros? Is that cool? Or
give them Bloodstorm.
Bloodstorm.
That's the metal track on this record.
Okay, Bloodstorm.
Yeah.
And
because they can go get Counting Zeros for free.
All right.
It's a Discovery download of the week.
Oh,
it's
right,
a free download.
So let's check this out. Bloodstorm by Sacred Oath. Rob, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks.